Okay, welcome to another episode of the Charity Charge Show. Olivia, thank you so much for being a guest on this episode.
Of course, thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I like to keep this pretty informal, and I really appreciate our friendship and knowing you now, going on over 4 years since the inception of Charity Charge. So for everyone just tuning in, this is Olivia Hayden with the Whole Planet Foundation. Really, really awesome organization, obviously does work around the globe, but happens to be headquartered right here in Austin, Texas. So Olivia, if you don't mind, could you share a little bit about the Whole Planet Foundation and your role there?
Yeah, of course. So Whole Planet Foundation was founded in 2005 by Whole Foods Market. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with Whole Foods Market. And John Mackey, our founder and CEO, back in 2003, attended an Ernst & Young entrepreneurs conference. And there were a lot of CEOs like himself in the audience. And Muhammad Yunus, who's commonly known as the grandfather of microcredit, was the speaker at that event. And he got up in front of the crowd and he said, "I challenge all of you CEOs, all of you macro entrepreneurs, to empower micro entrepreneurs." And from there, the idea of Whole Planet Foundation was born. So what we do is we alleviate poverty through microcredit loans to entrepreneurs living in poverty in the countries where Whole Foods Market sources products. So if a product is sourced by Whole Foods, we can work there to alleviate poverty, and that's what we do. And as for myself, I actually am the senior digital fundraising specialist for the foundation. I wear many, many hats, a lot of it creative work, which is my favorite thing to do, and to be able to employ my creativity in the pursuit of helping women entrepreneurs is just fantastic every day.
I love it. You know, can you talk a little bit about, to the audience, just more tangible aspects of microcredit loans? And I know that one of the really cool things is how you've broken down, you know, like a certain dollar amount given to the organization can have a certain amount of impact. And that's sort of tying in, I know you have a specific story and kind of anecdote that's personal to you. So whatever comes top of mind.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So we talked about microcredit, but sometimes people have a hard time understanding how micro that is. And especially for us in the United States, when we look at that average first loan that Whole Planet Foundation funds, which is about $174 right now, we might have a hard time understanding how a woman could use that money to lift herself and her family out of poverty. So I do have a really personal story to share. I've been on the Whole Planet Foundation team for almost 5 years now. And about 4 years ago, I went on my first international impact visit with some of our donors to Paraguay. And it was my first trip, and I was also trying to translate Spanish, which at the end of the day became harder and harder for me. And it was the last day of our trip, and my team leader, Joy, and I had separated with two different...
Shout out to Joy, too.
Yeah, shout out to Joy.
Yeah, no, some of my best. Joy's awesome.
I will. So Joy and I had separated. We had two different groups, and I was with my group, and we went to a community where I had never witnessed the kind of poverty that was present in this community, to be honest with you. And it was a really eye-opening experience for me. So we arrived in the community and we'd been doing activities all day with our staff from the microfinance partner Fundación Paraguaya. And so as a result, we were a little bit late to the community. And as a time-bound American, I was feeling very anxious about that. So at the end of the presentation by the clients, one of the women entrepreneurs grabbed me by the arm and she said, "I want to show you my house." And I kind of looked at the donors and they were like, "Oh, but Olivia, we have to meet Joy for dinner really soon." And I said, "You know what? We're going to go to her house." Her name was Olga. We're going to go to Olga's house and we're going to go to anyone else's house that wants us to. And Joy will understand, which she ultimately did. So we ended up going for a walk through the community and really seeing the way that people were living in this community. And it kind of varied from people living in wooden lean-tos. Some people had plastic tarps as their roofs. So it was a very impoverished community. And we're walking through and we have kind of a following now now and everyone's coming with us to this woman's house. And along the way, she's telling us, my house is kind of small, but I'm very proud of it. And she just wanted to show us how proud she was. So we show up at her house and she kind of has on one side, she's got like a wooden shed with a dirt floor. And on the other side, she's got like a house with a platform and real windows and a door that closes and a nice metal roof. And we're standing there outside and she says, hang on. And she runs back into the big house and she comes out holding this giant heavy sewing machine under her arm. And she says, with my first loan, which was $180, I bought this sewing machine. And then she points to the house, the little shack on this side, the wooden structure with the dirt floor. And she said, before I got my sewing machine, this was my home. Since I was able to sew my traditional Paraguayan lace onto tablecloths and bring them to the market, I've been able to use those profits to build this house for my family to live in. And I think that is one of the stories that I can use to best illustrate the power of that small loan, that loan that's under $200. All she needed was access to a sewing machine, and it was nearly impossible for her to come up with that business capital. But she was ready, she had a plan, she had a skill, and she was just waiting to put that to use. So I think when people think about microcredit, if you think about the individual stories, it can sometimes be easier to understand the work that we do and the impact that it has.
I love that you shared that. I'm actually getting emotional. I'm gonna talk a little bit about actually our trip together, the collective trip we did to Belize to share kind of my experience that I had there that was eye-opening in my own way for me, that's relatable to what you just shared. But I also think that that's such a beautiful way to break down for people. I've absolutely loved Whole Planet Foundation, your mission, your work, and how you all are set up. I think, you know, for anyone listening, my honest, direct, you know, plug and something that I think is just awesome about Whole Planet Foundation. Number one, Whole Foods is covering 100% of the operating costs. So any and all dollars that go to Whole Planet Foundation by individuals or corporations that are donating is actually being able to be lent out to those in need. And it's just such a great way. I mean, if you're a donor, we kind of don't think about this a lot when we support nonprofits, about like sort of maximizing your dollars and getting kind of like a return on your donation. But the beauty is you lend this money out in small loans. Olga, in this case, is able to buy her first sewing machine, and then she's able to create a business out of that. And it's just like such a beautiful thing that allows dollars and impact to go that much further. So I just think you all have such an amazing model. It's remarkable, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's a really great point, Stephen, to bring up the Whole Foods Market covering our operating expenses. And also, there's another thing that I think is important to remember about microcredit, and that is that even through the COVID-19 pandemic that we're all experiencing now, we've seen our repayment rates on average are still about 95%. So that repayment rate has fallen, but only ever so slightly. And I think 95% for those who work in the financial industry, 95% is a really great repayment rate. And when those funds are repaid, they are then re-loaned to more entrepreneurs. So once Olga repays her sewing machine loan, then maybe her neighbor down the road is going to get a loan that comes from her repayment. So in that way, as a donor, not only do 100% of your funds go to microcredit loans, but then they continue to revolve through the community, having more impact over time.
I'd like to actually go there just for a sec, sort of on whatever facts you can share, even just your own personal experience. When I first heard of microcredit, like, it just sounds too good to be true. And I'm absolutely blown away by how it functions in the sense of the repayment rates, right? So I think that there'd be a lot of skeptical people out there that would say, well, wait, why are you just giving away these loans? These people don't know anything about finance, about business, they're going to lose all the money. But then you see this 95% plus repayment rate. So it really works. So just curious, what makes it work? What do you think happens there?
There's a few different factors. I think the first factor, and maybe the most important factor, is that most of the microfinance projects we are funding 80% or more are through this traditional Grameen Bank style lending. And if you're not familiar with Grameen Bank, I mentioned Muhammad Yunus, but he founded the Grameen Bank in Bangladesh to lend to the poor. And everyone thought he was crazy. So you're not wrong to think that some people will be naysayers about this type of work. And he actually started by loaning $26 out of his own pocket that was then repaid. And he started out with this micro experiment that has since exploded. That Grameen style lending means that women are in solidarity groups. So what does that mean? That means that women would have to find some other people in their community in order to be eligible for the loan. We say a lot that the microloans that we fund don't require any collateral or any contract. So that group structure essentially is the guarantee, it is the contract. And last year, I was lucky enough to go visit our partner in South Africa, and we were in the first group repayment meeting of the day. So instead of the people going to the bank comes to the people. That's another thing that makes this repayment so high. And then the group holds each other accountable. So in our group, we had one group whose one of their members had gone to the city, not told anyone in the group, just kind of left. And we watched as the entrepreneurs had to negotiate with the larger group, with the staff from our microfinance partner, and with each other to figure out the best way forward. So what ended up happening was they ended up each having to pony up the part of her loan, because that's part of the group guarantee with many of our partners. And then they worked with the microfinance institution to find a new group member to replace that entrepreneur who had left. So when people are coming for a loan, it becomes important for you to know and trust the people in your loan group, because you're gonna have to work together if something happens to that person and they're unable to pay. So the group guarantee is a really big thing. The other thing I would say is that we work in pro-poor, or it's sometimes known as social microfinance. What does pro-poor mean? That means that our partners are really attuned to the local community, and they have people going in to do things like financial literacy training. So you mentioned, like, maybe they don't have any financial expertise. Maybe they don't know how to run a business. Well, a lot of our partners provide trainings for them, so that they can learn more and just be better at what they do. But in many cases, the entrepreneurs know what they want to do. They have a skill, kind of like Olga. They're just waiting for that infusion of capital that I think a lot of us take for granted here.
It's so amazing. Thank you for sharing and elaborating on that. I want to transition a bit here to some of the practical sides of just what you've been figuring out and how you've been adapting Whole Planet Foundation and your outreach and fundraising efforts, given what's happening in the world, COVID. One of the stories that you shared with me, just sort of to kick this off, was I know in the past you had done, you know, virtual events. Like, you started, in my opinion, pioneering the concept of the virtual 5Ks years ago. But you were sharing with me more recently that you all just had been planning for an event. COVID happened. But as a team, you guys just said, hey, let's do it. And then you had some pretty miraculous results. So am I giving you enough to?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't remember everything. So I sort of, I'm just like, I'm not purposely teasing it out. I just.
Good job. Good memory. So yes, we had been doing virtual runs for a few years. And then this year we had decided that it was finally time we were going to do a physical run here in Austin. And for our team, this was our first time putting on an event like this, with sponsors and packet pickup and setting a course and all of these wonderful things. And we planned all of that in the glorious year 2019. And of course, as we all know, things changed rather drastically in 2020. So we did decide to move an event that was going to be physical here in Austin in June to a virtual 5K event. And for that event, the physical event was slated to raise $25,000 as a first year event, proof of concept, learnings. And through the virtual event, we were actually able to raise over $60,000. So it was an amazing just kind of outpouring of support from our audience. I think they really appreciated the fact that we took something and kind of made it work for the new reality. And it was something positive that people could plug into and be a part of and do something that matters. So we got a really great reception on that. And then coming up, we're going to be moving our Party with a Purpose, which usually happens here in Austin. It's a big auction with local and global auction items that our team collects from around the world. It's our favorite time of year is event time. We're moving that online this year to a virtual event, and we're making it free for everyone to participate. So I think taking those things into account that some people are struggling in this moment and make it as easy as possible for people to participate in our events at a sliding scale of levels, depending on their ability to give. And if people can't give, well, then they can learn more about our work, they can share our work, and they can participate in making a difference that way. There's really so many ways people can get involved.
And show us, do you have a little bit of some of the items that some of the from your network that would be there? I think you had a little bit of show and tell.
I don't have items here that are going to be in the auction, okay. But people can preview. We have 90 items up on our website already. The
link on the spot. What about one of your
my microcredit client items that I have to illustrate?
Yeah, can you hold one up?
Yeah, so I mentioned my trip to Paraguay, but then my next trip was to Guatemala, and I'm an artist myself, and I just love being able to support artisans. And as we travel, we meet microcredit clients, a lot of them are artisans, and they make things with our hands. So these are some beautiful, intricate dish towels that I purchased from a microcredit client in Guatemala. And this was kind of a cool story because we were in Guatemala, we were trying to purchase items. I always buy Christmas presents for my family from microcredit clients if I can on my travels. And I was trying to look at my Christmas list and buy enough dish towels for all of my family members that were kitchen fanatics. And the woman I was doing business with, she actually ran out of dish towels. And I was kind of like, well, don't worry, I'll just take what you have. And another entrepreneur hurried over with her goods. And she said, I have some extras that like we can together sell, and I will contribute as well. And we work together. And I just thought that was so special. And again, illustrates that kind of community group lending mindset that everyone's in it together for each other's success.
It's awesome. I love it so much. Let's come back to the Party with a Purpose. Can you tell us just a little bit more if people are interested in getting involved, both with Whole Planet Foundation and with that event? Where would they learn more? What sort of kind of call to actions would you have?
Of course. So our website is always available 24/7, wholeplanetfoundation.org. Right now, if you go to our website on the homepage, at the very top is a button that you can click to go straight to our auction. Also, if anyone out there is interested in sponsoring the event, we still have about a week left that we're going to be taking sponsorships. And if anyone would like to donate an auction item, we are taking those until the final hour, the 19th of October. So like I said, you can preview those items now. It's free. You can choose to purchase a t-shirt. We're doing a vintage reprint of an old favorite from a Whole Foods Market team member design.
Well, I already purchased mine.
Awesome. I can't wait to see you rock it. I bought mine too. They're going to be soft. And it's a put poverty in a museum design, which is kind of clever based on some words that Muhammad Yunus has said in the past. And also based on our work trying to put poverty in a museum. So click that link, check out the auction, register for free. We will actually text you on the 19th in the morning to remind you that bidding is open. And then bidding will close on October 25th. And at 1 o'clock Central Time on October 25th, you can also tune in. We're going to be posting our video program, and then that will be available to view all day long. So if you want to be part of the conversation, you can use hashtag Party with a Purpose. And just make sure you sign up so we can remind you when to bid. There's some really cool items, both from microcredit clients around the globe and also from some of our local friends. Like, I think there are 2 Yeti coolers now.
Nice.
But definitely a great thing to check out.
Registered.
Yeah. Shop for a great cause starting October 19th.
That's awesome. Just don't outbid me on the Yeti coolers.
I sense a bidding war coming on.
Yeah, it's coming up. finishing this out, you know, I was thinking a lot about just how I've known you since, you know, your work with the Whole Planet Foundation, but I know it goes back prior to that with your involvement with nonprofit organizations and being in different roles. So what I wanted to just kind of have a segment here, there's a lot of, you know, people that are, let's say, in college that are trying to figure out like what career they want to do post this. A lot of people that may want to get into the nonprofit sector. I'm just trying to, can you briefly talk about your, the steps you took out of college, like to get to where you are today, and sort of any advice to your younger self or someone that's in college that may be interested in working in the nonprofit industry?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to. So I have a bit of an interesting path to where I got to today. Coming out of high school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And I did well in school, but I just didn't feel ready to commit. So I took a year off. And I thought maybe I'd travel or maybe I'd do other things. And my parents basically said, you're 18, you're going to start paying rent today. And good luck on having the money for anything else. So I realized I needed to get a full-time job. And that full-time job was at Whole Foods Market, bagging groceries and getting carts in the parking lot. And I actually called the store about 12 times to get them to look at my resume. And they did. And they called me in for an interview. And I think it was about 3 months in that they promoted me to cashier. And that happened to be the first year of our Whole Planet Foundation campaign in stores. So I was one of the first cashiers asking people for donations. And I remember so keenly at that time as an 18-year-old working at a grocery store, thinking, wow, this is an amazing thing that my company does. This makes my job better every day. It gives me a sense of purpose to be a part of this. And someday I'm going to work for Whole Planet Foundation. And I have to tell you that most everyone in my store laughed me out of town because I was in Los Angeles. I hadn't been to college. I didn't know anything about nonprofits. I just wanted to do this someday. And since then, I went to school. I majored in communications and in fine arts sculpture. Like I said, I'm an artist. And, you know, I did those things because they were things I enjoyed. I love people. I love communicating. I especially loved organizational communication and how different parts of organizations can work better together. And then on the fine art side, I think I really, like I said earlier, like to use my creativity to make a difference. So I didn't know what the heck I was going to do after college, but I felt like those things would serve me really well and be practical things to have in my tool belt. And then after college, I was kind of looking for a place to go, and I knew Whole Foods Market was a great company with good values that I believed in. And, you know, after college, I think it was a little bit hard for me to go back and get my job as a cashier, but it was that sense of purpose that kept me from thinking like, man, I'm not doing the right thing here. I absolutely knew I was in the right place. And from there, I was moved up through the ranks from like cash office specialist, which is funny because I'm not a math person, but they trusted me to do that. And from there into store marketing. So I became a store marketing team leader. I was in that role for a few years. I moved out here to Austin in that role, trying to get closer to the foundations, the three Whole Foods Market foundations, that is. And then basically what happened is I realized I needed to get nonprofit experience, and all of my mentors and folks I was talking to, and that would be a tip, is have mentors, have people to talk to. they were telling me, look, it sounds like you really know what you want to do. You want to work for a nonprofit. Like, why don't you just go for it? And so I ended up moving out of the Whole Foods role and into Save Barton Creek Association, which is a very small nonprofit here in Austin. And they were having some issues related to funding, and I was able to go in as the only staff person, and we were able to get over $75,000 in grant funding, which ended up stopping the problems they were having on the side before I joined the team. So after that period of time, kind of serendipitously, the Whole Planet Foundation job came up. And between my experience at Whole Foods Market and my nonprofit experience, I had the perfect combination of experience for this role. I think the other thing about me and that I would give as advice for recent grads is try to let go of the fear. And I give this advice to people in both business and in life. I've been on hikes before where I'm yelling, let go of the fear at my friend. And I'm thinking, oh, maybe that's not helpful, but this is my advice that I give. Because there's a lot of things in my job now, like video production, graphic design, all those things I have taught myself from YouTube videos. And now that is my job. And if I'd been afraid that I wasn't good enough or I didn't know what I was doing because I'd taught myself, then I would have never been able to get to where I am today. So I'd say my advice is lean into your mentors, do what you love, focus on your goals, and then move forward without fear. And I think that also ties to what we talked about earlier, which is fundraising in this time of COVID-19. If you are willing to think outside the box and do something new without that fear of failure, then there's a lot that you can learn very quickly and then use that to make your campaigns and your events and all of that better in the future.
I'm so proud of you. Amazing. I mean, this is what's really cool about, you know, having this podcast and just having a time apart, you know, from distractions to have the, you know, one-on-one time together. I've known you for, you know, 4.5 years or so, but I didn't realize your early start at 18 at Whole Foods, how you learned about, or really the start of Whole Planet Foundation, and then your persistence to get there.
That's, oh yeah. It was a lot of persistence. And I still remember, it was a while ago, and I still remember the shirt I wore to that job interview to bag groceries, because I didn't have any like interview appropriate attire. And I remember I wore a shirt, like a cotton t-shirt. It was printed with music notes. And I just thought that it was cool and that maybe it'd be good enough for an interview. So I got the job.
Yes, it totally worked. That is really incredible. Thank you so much for that. I'm doing something different here too. You know, I know we've collaborated. I'm trying to like expand more and more as I think about the Charity Charge community. So I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but I just wanted to see whatever comes top of mind. But what is your favorite thing about Charity Charge, or just like our interactions and just what we've been able to collaborate on together?
Okay, so I think what I love about Charity Charge, I actually brought you guys up on a conference call maybe yesterday or the day before, is that there is that just spirit of innovation when it comes to a problem that I'm not sure anyone realized was a problem. And I feel like Charity Charge brought that problem to light. And that problem was all of those credit card rewards that were going unused, that credit card companies were, you know, throwing at people, but where did they really go? And, you know, how can we shift this problem into a solution for the world's nonprofit organizations to make a difference? So I think just that big picture thinking, and then watching you all move from the consumer card into the nonprofit card, which again, I think another problem that nonprofits might face is, you know, dealing with everything with a traditional credit card and not having that opportunity to make their purchases work for them. And just watching the evolution of your business. I also think the fact that you've been able to hire and keep retained so many wonderful staff people that I've worked with over the years. And I've watched you also take on interns that you've grown into staff members. And I just think that kind of willingness to work with someone who maybe doesn't have a lot of experience, but has a lot of other things to give, and that you see that in people and you're willing to help people grow into that, you know, full-fledged employee that you know they can be. I like that.
I'm touched. Thank you. I really appreciate you sharing that. I think that sort of as we round out this interview, what I would say back to you, and I was speaking with our newest hire actually, who started on Monday. And, you know, what I basically said to him is, to me, the almost the irony of the whole thing is the byproduct of hopefully giving and creating a great work environment where people that work for Charity Charge and are a part of it, and whether it's an advisor or a volunteer, whatever capacity, we've been able to attract some really great people, is allowing them to just enjoy what they do. And I think so much so, a lot of businesses are about the customer, right? It's about like, what are you doing for the customer? But if in the process, you can create a lot of joy with the employees that are there, like on the journey throughout it, that to me is like the ultimate thing. And so I appreciate you say that. And And that's kind of like the fun of it too, is just like our relationship and our friendship. And it's been a while with COVID, especially reconnecting here, but those are the coolest things. It's like whatever the business does and the nonprofit does is super important and like there to serve a reason, but it's so much more than that. And it sounds kind of corny or cliche, but it really is about the people and the process. So
yeah, I also think there's another thing that that reminds me a lot of the work that Whole Planet Foundation does, in that we work with a lot of microfinance institutions, many of which are nonprofits themselves, some of them are for-profits. But through our work, we get a really unique perspective because we are funding, now we funded over 120, I think, different unique partners. So sometimes we'll have a partner in one country that has an issue and our partner in another country already resolved that issue, and we can share that best practice because of our unique position. And I think for you, you're in a similar role because you work with so many different nonprofits and you hear what they're going through and their struggles and their strategies. And so I really appreciate you having things like this podcast, because I think you become a resource as well for nonprofit organizations that are just looking for whatever, what's new, what's next, and how to solve the problems that they're facing.
100%. I appreciate you saying that and pointing that out. That's really what I'm trying to do with this. It's super, it's a lot of fun, you know, and I see in just in having conversations like we were having, I was so impressed with the pivots that you all have made and the success that you've had. I think those are things that other nonprofits can follow for their own missions and ultimately be really successful. So for everyone listening along, you can tell I'm a huge fan of both Olivia and the Whole Planet Foundation, which is wholeplanetfoundation.org. And their upcoming event, Party with a Purpose, is going to be awesome. I will be there virtually. I've already ordered my shirt and I encourage everyone to participate. So thank you so much, Olivia, for being a guest here.
Thank you so much for having me.